the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. Visit an English Gardens location near you this weekend and get 40% off one regular priced item with code WJR23. That's code WJR23. Now here's your host of the WJR Gardening Show, Ann Thomas.
And I am here with Jennifer Lau, a master gardener at English Gardens. And Jennifer, on the first edition of the WJR Gardening Show, we are going to give our listeners all kinds of great advice.
I love being so specific and helping people. This is great. Today, you wanted to talk about, you know, maybe some plants that are inside your home. Commonly asked questions. Let's try to fix those easily now. Maybe how to start some seeds and some plants inside. And then maybe what you should be doing this time of year outside in your garden as it warms up.
Jennifer Lau, Master Gardener at English Gardens. I'm really looking forward to talking to you. We'll get started right after these messages. Welcome to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. I'm Ann Thomas, and I'm here with Jennifer Lau, a master gardener with English Gardens.
Thank you, Ann. It is so nice to meet you as well.
It's great to have you. It's great to meet you, be here at English Gardens. I want to start first, though, and I want to talk a little bit about you and how you got into this. You're a master gardener. What does that mean?
It's a funny story how sometimes this happens to a lot of people in life. You start off on one path, and then all of a sudden something just appears, and you say, why didn't I think of that before? So, yes, I was actually doing something completely different in life. It was time for a career change, and I said, I really want to think about this. I want to do something meaningful that's very important to me, something that just clicks. And I tell you, it was one of those aha moments. It was something strange, like a billboard. It was something very innocuous, and I said, oh, Michigan State University, my alma mater, I love that idea. What is it about that? And it was take some horticulture classes. Something goes off in my head. Two sets of grandparents were farmers, and I said, why didn't I think of this before? And I love it, and I absolutely love it. It's the science, but I get to teach people how to grow beautiful things and feed themselves. I mean, I just...
That's awesome.
I can't think of anything better.
And you've been with English Gardens for a long time.
I do love the place, yes.
18 years.
Family company, just a wonderful place to be.
Yeah. Now, how did you get started here at English Gardens? You just kind of got the Master Gardener degree and applied for the job, walked in the door?
And was blessed. Yep.
Wow.
Right timing.
And what are some of the things that you do here to help people learn to grow properly?
Being a family company, and they do things a little differently. They try to really have one-on-one attention as they can. No one's on commission. This is, most of us, even if we don't come in with any horticulture training, we train each other because that's part of the thing is just let us help you. Because gardening is easy. You know, we can't be different from every other store around the corner that also might have plants. What makes this difference is no, we're taking care of them. They're healthy. And let me show you how easy this is. So that's really everything. Yes, we take care of the plants. That's part of a day.
Sure.
But I engage with everyone. And what are you thinking about? And let me show you and let me make you feel comfortable doing this. And that's my goal.
So if I come in as an amateur gardener, mm-hmm. you're there to kind of hold my hand and help me pick the right plants for my property?
100%. Plants are not as hard as what they seem. You just need the right information. So I promise it's not going to be opening an encyclopedia, you know? And afterwards you're going to say, oh, I had no idea that it was that easy. And it is.
That's good to know. Yeah. Now, let's start first with houseplants.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the trends that we're seeing with regard to houseplants?
Well, when that lovely pandemic came, you know, everyone was at home.
Yes.
And so they kind of looked around maybe a little bit more. And the idea that they could have a little beauty inside, I'm sure that became something that brought just a lot of people's attention to it. And they just didn't realize maybe, you know, they had time to start to learn how to have them. You know, maybe they tried them before, but they just said, my plants die, I don't have the time. So, and they, you know, came to talk to us. It's beautiful. It makes a room feel cozy, but they also maybe didn't know that it actually helps clean the air. It's not going to clean a virus, but there's a lot of toxins in the air from just carpeting, paint on the walls. I love that fire retardants keep me safe, but, you know, all together, things in appliances, there's a lot of toxins that plants actually help clean all that out. In Michigan, we can't have the windows open
right, that's
24
true.
Hours a day. So it's wonderful. And they give us oxygen.
So how do you pick the right houseplant for your home?
I want to say it's understandable that someone might come up to a plant and say, that's beautiful, I want that. And then they put it where they want it and it doesn't do well. And they think it's because it was a difficult plant or because they did something wrong. That's really not always at all the case. Plants grow somewhere around the world. They've just never had winter. That's what makes a house plant.
Sure.
You know, an oak tree has to stay outside because it needs the winter. House plants don't. But I can't have the desert plant sitting in a dark corner in the basement and a bathtub full of water, because that has nothing to do with what it's used to. And it's really as simple as that. So I say, where do you want to put a plant? Can you describe it for me? Let's be realistic. Is this a plant you really want to ignore? Are there issues with cats, dogs, you know, anything that might come into play? Fabulous. Here's 20 plants that will actually grow well there. Do you like any of them? And it's really as simple as that. And then I'll get into detail about each one, but right plant for the right spot. So pick a spot first.
What are some of the easier plants to grow? You know, ones that might not need as much attention as others.
They do exist. They really, really do. And I have them. Even though I know how to take care of difficult plants, I don't either. So we're going to tell you
the
truth.
This is good
to know. When I consider an easy plant, it's something that'll grow whether there's a window, whether there's not. Something that doesn't need constant watering, constant fertilization. You can put it in the corner. You can say, oops, I forgot about you, honey, and it still looks good. So in that cat, and some of them really, truly do exist. The first plant that everyone might think about is called a snake plant. It's actually native to Africa. Mm. A lot of desert plants will adapt to anything because they live in such hideous conditions. So there's plants like the snake plant. There's something called the ZZ plant. You know, where we're talking, you put it in the window, you don't put it in the window. You water it maybe once a month. I mean, everything's probably going to be fine.
Once a month?
It depends.
That's
if it's full.
That's my kind of plant.
Yes, if it's a full-size one, a little baby one needs a little bit more attention. But, you know, there's not fertile soil in the middle of a desert, so it's nothing you even need to worry about fertilizing. So those are, there's a few other plants. There's that philodendron plant that everyone's grandmother's grandmother had because you could forget about it for a month, and when you think it's dead, nope, you water it, and an hour later it looks like nothing happened. You know, so there are good, easy plants.
Now, what about fertilizing plants? Do you just need to water a houseplant, or do they require a little bit more care, or does it depend on the kind of plant?
Kind of all those things, but in general, a plant is a lot like people. They need a certain light condition, they need, you know, water once in a while, and they also need food. And when it's a pot, not Mother Nature, but when it's in a condensed space, that is all the, you know, the nutrition they have. So at some point, they're going to run dry, and then they'll get weak. And then what happens when they get weak? They might get sickly, and they might attract bugs. So most things don't need a ton of it, but I want to encourage people to at least remember to do it once in a while and come talk to us. And your plant may hardly ever need it, but maybe that's what's wrong with it.
Does a plant change based on our different seasons? You know, because here in Michigan, that's what I thought you were going to say. Because, you know, we have the season change, and the inside of the house changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you deal with that?
Do you remember me saying a minute ago that plants are a lot like people?
Yes.
You know, during the winter when you kind of, sort of, sit on the couch and watch TV a little bit more, even if it's unconsciously, it's just the body resting. All of nature does that too, including plants. So, yes, I like to warn people that don't automatically give your plant water and fertilizer. You know, check it first, because especially during the winter, everything slows down. And sometimes it might go twice as long before it needs water, and certainly not a lot of food. And there's nothing wrong with your plant. It's just resting like we are.
What about repotting plants? At what point do you need to make a decision to repot a plant? How can you tell?
The easiest answer is to bring in a picture and let us look at it, and we're happy to tell you. But in general, if it's not taking in any water, if you're watering it and it's rushing through to the bottom of the pot, it always seems drooping, there might be an issue because it's so full of roots that it's not able to. That's a good question. Take, you know, if you can slip it out of the pot, mm-hmm. if you just, there's nothing wrong with roots. Roots are good. But if you see a mass of roots, it's usually an indication that it needs to go into something a little bit bigger. But again, it's never going to be during the winter. It's resting.
Now, how do you know when it's time to water the plant? I know you can overwater a plant, right?
Quickly and easily. Yeah.
Is that one of the most common problems?
Yeah, it is. I want to give everyone a really good tip. Here it is, a large plant, and naturally you think that it needs water. If you happen to come to a place with plant professionals, I'm going to explain certain things about the plant that make it easy to remember. But say this is a plant you just come across, you don't know anything. How in the heck can you tell? When, you know how Mother Nature rains?
Sure, right.
She rains fully, usually a while, not just 2 minutes. And then she doesn't rain. This is what we want plants to feel like. Just like they feel in nature. So when you water really well, and then you don't. It's nothing you constantly do. How to tell is if, I recommend a water meter if you like gadgets. It's instantaneous. You stick it halfway down into the plant and it tells you whether it needs water or not. It's not a, you know, another good tip is to use a plain old-fashioned wooden pencil. Teachers get really excited when I tell them that. Yes, I have plenty of pencils. That wood is, it's most often cedar wood. It's very sensitive to water. So, you know, I can stick my finger in, but say it's a great big pot, and I can only stick my finger in an inch, and say it's, you know, a foot and a half tall, this huge pot. How in the heck am I going to be able to tell what's going on down there? Stick in a pencil. Stick it in. Don't worry about crushing any roots. There's plenty of roots. You pick it up. You look at the color of the wood. If it's turned dark, it's wet down there. Check it every single week. Wait until when you stick it halfway into a pot, it comes out and it's still kind of sort of that blonde color. Then it's time to water. If you stick it in and it's black, don't water it. Simple.
Oh, that's great advice. Now let's continue this conversation in just a few minutes. I have some more questions. One of the things I want to know is you get this beautiful plant into your home. You take care of it for a while, and then all of a sudden, it just kind of starts to die away. So I want to find out, how do you heal a sick plant? Mm. You are listening to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens, on 760 WJR. We'll be back right after these messages.
Welcome back to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. Visit an English Gardens location near you this weekend and get 40% off one regular priced item with code WJR23. That's code WJR23. Once again, here's your host, Ann Thomas.
And I am here with Jennifer Lau, a master gardener at English Gardens. And Jennifer, we've been talking about plants. In the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about getting everything ready for spring, but I still have a few more questions about plants.
Sure.
And one of my issues with plants has been over the years, beautiful plant comes into the house, and I'm really gung-ho about taking very good care of this plant. And I do, for a period of time. And then what happens is
it's normal.
The plant starts to look very sad.
Yeah.
And I've watered the plant. I've done everything I think that I should have done. Now, perhaps, as you point out, could be location, could be overwatering, could be oddly watering, like watering too much at one time and then not enough at other times.
Mm-hmm.
So once you start to see the plant look a little bit sad, what do we do?
I want to be the most helpful and say, come talk to one of us. What would be, you know, because of the weather or because of the size or because of various, any particular reason. I know if it's a small plant, it's nice to bring it in. But if that's not really, you know, possible, bring in a piece of the plant that's causing you a problem so we can see what it is. And just come ready for, unfortunately, a bunch of questions, you know. And I promise we're going to figure out what it is. Like you were mentioning, it could be any various number of things, and I will make sure you leave understanding what the problem is. But we have an actual department for this called the Garden Pharmacy.
It's wow.
Free of charge. There's just there's a microscope. We will find out what's going on.
Now, some people we know have green thumbs. They're just really, really good at growing things, like you, Jennifer Lau. Is it possible to just be horrible at this and have a black thumb? I think the answer is yes, but...
No, I promise you. Just like anything, you need the right person explaining something to you. Plants are really not that hard. Yes, there's a lot of information to know about them. But I'm going to do my absolute best to make sure that it's understandable. It's not you. It's that it's probably the wrong place and the wrong location, or just someone hasn't told you enough information about it. Dr. Google, unfortunately, is not always full of information that's appropriate to Southeast Michigan.
Now, what about insects with regard to houseplants? Do houseplants get insects, and how?
They do. Listen, plant bugs don't want us. Plant bugs are there for the plants. It's one of the first things I try to tell people because they just do that cringe. Oh, it's on my pillow. What happens is you know, bugs live everywhere, whether the plant's outside for a time period or whether it's wintertime and they're just sleeping in the walls. Plant bugs are just hanging out. I'd like to give an analogy of the lion taking a nap on the Sahara. You know, maybe he's already eaten. Maybe he's hungry. Maybe he's not. But he knows when the herd of antelope come by which one's sick. Because you'll see on all the nature shows. He gets up and he runs after one. He smells it. He knows. And he's not going to necessarily pass that by because he doesn't know when the next meal is going to come from. That's actually what happens with plant bugs. A healthy plant, a healthy antelope will not be eaten, generally speaking, and a healthy plant isn't going to be affected either. So it's stressed in some way. When you come in, I'm going to ask you, 10 questions to figure out what it is that's stressing the plant, and then we'll fix it.
Are there products out there to get rid of insects on plants or plant bugs?
There are. There are natural and something a little bit stronger. We'll tell you all the options. Sometimes there's better reasons for one or the other. I don't want to give a blanket statement because that's, not always the right answer. And sometimes, believe it or not, you don't have to buy anything. It just might be an adaptation that you need to make.
And that's one of the reasons it's so smart to either bring the plant in, bring in a piece of the plant, and take advantage of the English Gardens Plant Pharmacy. I had no idea that you had that. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yes, we love doing that.
Now, what if you live in a place where you don't have a lot of windows, or you have a small amount of space? Still possible to have plants?
Yes, and it's frustrating because you can't pick up your house and move it. You know, I mean, it is what it is. So There is something that came out a number of years ago where it's called a grow light, and it's actually not just any old light bulb. It'll look just like any old light bulb, which is a beautiful thing, but it's actually composed of all of the, you know, energy rays that are in the sun. You know, because there's a lot of different ones. Look at a rainbow. I mean, there's different light spectrums do different things for all of nature, plants included.
That makes sense.
And so if you just, you know, pick up one of these bulbs, and there's various ways about, depending upon the plant, what are you trying to grow, how close you need to put it, but it's beautiful that you can stick it into any lamp and it looks just the same as a regular light bulb. And it lasts a long time, and it'll let you have plants when you didn't think you could.
So we know they need water. We know they need some type of light.
Mm-hmm.
And now this light bulb is a great alternative to natural light.
Yes.
Talk a little bit more about some of the fertilizing techniques that you could do to make the plant more lush in your home.
It's a good question, Ann, because I only touched on that before. Whatever is in a pot, as I was saying, this is the only nutrition that it has. So at some point, it's going to use it all, and it's going to be depleted. It does truly depend upon the type of plant, how much it needs. You know, your pot of petunia outside that has 100 flowers on it, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and it's going through all sorts of conditions, and I want it to look perfect all the time, and I may not be treating it perfectly all the time. There's wind, there's sun. It's hard. And so to do what you want it to do, you have to feed it like an athlete. Your little greenhouse plant doesn't necessarily need that, but it does need something. You know, if you compare the two, the pot of petunias is doing so much more. Generally speaking, you want, as it's growing, give it some food. Some people like to think of it as every month they try to do it, because otherwise they won't remember. That's great. As long as you can do it a few times, you know, say spring and summer and fall, just to make sure it's got enough nutrition. And again, during the winter, they sleep, so leave it alone.
Should you ever think about changing the soil for a plant?
Every once in a while, some people get nervous about that. Do I need to do it all the time? And again, we're here to make gardening easy. You don't have to do that constantly. You know, it's not an every year type of a thing. If you feel good about doing it, that's wonderful. But at some point, the soil does start to break down. You know, depending on the plant and how big the pot is, you know, I do like to change it every several years or so, yes.
What about taking plants outside once the weather gets nice, late spring, summer? Is that okay?
Oh, great question. Can you imagine how much a plant misses the wind? They love it outside. But what's very important is, again, plants are a lot like people. Their skin cells also tan. And even though it might be a palm tree that normally grows on the beach in South Florida, you can get sunburn if you go from where it's used to being inside to bam, right out in the hot summer sun, that can burn it. So what I always like to remind people is when you first bring it outside, number one, they're going to love you for it. They are going to grow more lush. They are going to significantly change and be stronger for the long haul, even if you don't do it all the time, every once in a while. When you stick it outside, though, stick it underneath a tree where there's like a little bit of dappled sun, or underneath, you know, an umbrella, some sort of an area where it's not cooking on it. It takes about, scientifically, a couple of weeks for their skin cells to change. They'll open to get all the sun energy they can when it's dark, and they need that two-week time period to close up when they're getting plenty of sun.
You are listening to the WJR Gardening Show. We will continue this conversation in just a few minutes. So spring has arrived, Jennifer.
Woo-hoo.
Lau, Master Gardener at English Gardens, and it's time really to start thinking about planting. I know it's too soon.
It is too soon to do much.
A couple of questions. There's some things that we can do inside.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day, I bought a couple of hydrangeas.
Oh, good for you.
Well, we'll see. And I know that eventually I want to put them outside.
Okay.
So let's start, first of all, with buying plants that we know could be eventually planted outside. Is it okay to do this right now? And what would I do inside to get the plant ready for outside?
Okay. I'm going to try to give the shortest answer on that I can, because it's actually a little complicated. Whenever you buy a plant, I want you to be able to feel comfortable who you're speaking with, that they're an expert. And that isn't maybe always the case. So before you do anything like that, you do your best to try to ask an expert. You know, I need to know what kind of hydrangea that is, if it can be outside. But in general, since it's still a little cool at night, you have plants, they might even have flowers, and even though it might be a plant that normally lives outside, if you stick it outside when we get frost at night, you have to be careful this time of year. But yes, it is always okay, you know, to nurture something along inside if you're not ready to put it outside yet. Yes, there might come a time when it needs a little light, so if you can't put it right in a window, you utilize your grow light, you know, and that'll keep it moving along. You don't always have time when you plan on it. I'm going to plant this. No, it turns out that it's next month. It'll be okay.
So I know another really popular thing that people do is they seed inside.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk first about that. What are some of the benefits to start from seed inside to be ready for planting outside?
It's a nice family activity. And I was just speaking with someone that was mentioning how their kids, you know, aren't all that excited about vegetables, as many aren't. This is a great way to do it. If they grow it, boy, do they eat it. So it's a wonderful family activity. Everyone should know how to grow their own food, I think. You know, it's just an empowering thing. It's not difficult. And this is it's inexpensive. You can grow anything you want. You know, that way you don't have to depend upon what the store might have or the garden center. And it's, like I said, it's not complicated, no.
So what's involved? What kind of supplies do you need to do something like this? I like the vegetable idea. That's a great idea.
Because there are some maybe you've never tasted a purple carrot. And it's fun. And start small. Pick something. What's great is you don't have to know a heck of a lot about seeds. You just go to the store and you get them. I will recommend that you buy quality seed. When it's not, it might be old. It may not sprout. You all have gone through all this work and had nothing happen from it. And you said, why did I waste my time and energy? When part of the reason may have simply been, go to a quality store and just get good seed. It's just a couple of bucks. That seed package, turn it over on the other side, and it lists all the information to make your life easy. It'll tell you when it's going to sprout, how deep to plant it, where to plant it, if two plants are too close to one another, save that packet. That's very important. You pop it in some very light, fluffy potting soil so little baby roots can grow. You don't want heavy Mother Nature in a compressed area. That's not going to work. So you get this light, fluffy potting mix, and you get a mister, and you just mist it every single day. You don't want it to dry out, but you don't want it to sit in puddles. In a magical amount of time that it will say on the seed package, maybe a week or two, these little green magic things will start to sprout up. Give it some light. Oh, look, here's another use for that grow light. Make sure it's movable. It's because, you know, you want it close to the seedling, but remember that seedling is going to grow. So you want to be able to move it and always for it to be about 6 inches away. And then that whole time period, say 2 months later, is warm enough to stick this outside. And boom, you've grown it and it's already ready to go and it's cost you pennies. It's just fun.
So when you say warm enough, are you thinking mid to late May here in Michigan?
Great question. That is exactly pretty much the time period. The soil is not, you know, and the ambient temperature outside might be a high of 50 today, but that soil is still cold from being frozen during the winter. And when you stick a growing plant inside frozen soil, it doesn't always work well. If that plant had been in there all winter, it's used to it. But I'm going to take this baby, you know, plant that's maybe not real strong and then stick it in that ice-cold soil. It's going to fail. So, yes, generally speaking, you may not be running out there with the soil thermometer. You can call English Gardens. We'll tell you. But it's generally at the earliest mid-May.
Let's talk a little bit about English Gardens' selection of seeds. What do you have, and what are some of the supplies that you have to kind of help us along?
We have everything you need. We really do. There's three seed companies that are very old family companies, been around a long time. One even comes from Michigan. They're trusted. It's good stuff. It's fresh. And they give you quality information on the back. You just need containers. You need fluffy soil mix. You need some grow lights. You need all, there's so many different sizes of containers and things that you can put little domes on top of them, you know, to protect them. It depends. And we're here. So the information might be the most important part. Someone is always here to answer your questions.
And before we take a break, what seeds are easiest to grow?
Anything you love.
Really? So
yes.
It doesn't matter?
They're all easy.
Oh, this is good to know. Let's take a quick break now. And when we come back, I think it's probably time to at least start going out in the yard and getting some things ready for planting. So we're going to learn a little bit more about that from Jennifer Lau, the Master Gardener at English Gardens. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. Visit an English Gardens location near you this weekend and get 40% off one regular priced item with code WJR23. That's code WJR23. Once again, here's your host, Ann Thomas.
And I'm here with Jennifer Lau, a master gardener with English Gardens. If you have a question for the gardening doctor, you can go to WJR.com, look at Weekend Experts, and search for the WJR Gardening Show. And you can ask questions. And throughout the gardening season, we will answer your questions here on the show. So I know a lot of our listeners often have a lot of questions, so I think this is a great thing to do, and I'm looking forward to hearing what people have to say. WJR.com, Weekend Experts, the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens. Now, before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about going outside and playing in the garden at this time of year. I know you talk a little bit about the chilly temperatures, but is there anything that we should be doing outside right now?
I think maybe I want to start with saying don't do things too soon.
Okay.
You know, when I walked outside the other morning, oh my gosh, I loved hearing the birds for the first time. You know, when you don't hear them all winter.
Right. It is a sign of spring.
Yes, but something sparks it. And then so I look over at my vegetable garden. Maybe I should, you know, and even I have to stop myself. When the ground is still cold and wet, and it is, you know, remember the ambient air temperature is different than what's going on down in the ground.
Good
it
point.
Takes a minute to thaw. If you move things around and do a lot of walking around and a lot of raking or digging, it actually compacts the soil. And when soil is compacted, things do not grow well. You could have a problem for a number of years just by a little bit too much of that. So please be safe about that and just know that up front. You're not, I know you want to save some time, but actually don't do a heck of a lot. So there's no mowing, there's no heavy raking. You know, maybe you start to take off the, you know, if you had something covered, a precious new hydrangea tree, and you know, someone at a garden center, you know, informs you that it's a good idea to protect it because it faces this way against the harsh winter, make sure it lives. Those kinds of things, you can take off that burlap now. Maybe start to move away a little bit of the leaves from anything you protected. That's absolutely fine. You can get a soil test. I want to say this is might be something that someone's not all that familiar with. When the glaciers came through many years ago, they deposited certain mineral contents and upon each section of the planet. And so here in Michigan, we typically have certain elements that make it, say, easy for something down south to grow, but it doesn't grow here. And it's simply because of that content of the soil. But you can change things and you can make things better. And if you've grown things for a number of years, maybe you need to replenish some things. So get the soil test. And you can do that now. You can get one in English Gardens. You get one through Michigan State University Extension Office. It's a good amount of information to have because they'll tell you what you're, you know, maybe you're lacking calcium and things won't grow if you didn't know that.
So how do you do the soil test? Do you buy the kit?
It's actually very, it's very easy. Go down, walk nimbly in your garden. Remember, no sloshing around and compacting the soil. And you want to get a trowel and dig down as far as you can go. The ground is still a little frozen. We recommend 4 to 6 inches, if you can only get down a few inches, but take a slice of soil and maybe take a few of them in your area, mix them together. You just need to bring in a little cup. You can send them off to the various extension office of Michigan State University, which is in each county, or English Gardens, you know, provides that. So you can come into one of our stores and we'll just analyze it, and it's easy peasy, quick thing. Sometimes at Michigan State this time of year, they're taking care of the farmers, so you have to be patient. Maybe it's a couple of weeks there. But here at the store, it's usually, boom, you know, real quick turnaround. And then if you see that you're lacking in something, we will tell you how to fix that. And then if you need to put something down, you can throw that down too. So that's another good thing to do.
Do a lot of people do this? I've never even thought of doing this. It's a great idea.
I guess maybe not. Even I made the mistake 1 year. I moved into a new home, said, well, I know what I'm doing. I had no idea that my chemistry in this little garden area, because of the time of year that I moved in, I didn't have a lot of time. So I just started. Boy, did I learn the hard way.
What happened?
My chemistry was, nothing was growing. And I said, but okay, something's wrong. You silly girl, you didn't get a soil test. Go get the soil test. My chemistry was so far off, even though the soil looked good and did have nutrients, my plants couldn't pick it up.
Interesting.
So it's a nominal fee, and it'll save you a lot of trouble.
A great idea. Is the soil different in different parts of the state here in Michigan?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
So some areas have more clay, some have more sand, and that matters too, right?
It does. From one city to the next, and it is because of just what naturally occurred, you know, with the glaciers, and also what has been what humans have been doing to it for the last, you know, couple hundred years, as long as there's been a city. It's just good to find out.
Jennifer Lau, Master Gardener at English Gardens, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us. It was really great to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Anne. It was so wonderful being here. Thank you.
You've been listening to the WJR Gardening Show, sponsored by English Gardens on 760 WJR. I'm Ann Thomas, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend.